Today is September 8th, 2016, and this is episode number 376 of the Apple Context Machine, a podcast for the Mac Observer. I'm Jeff Gamet, managing editor at TMO.
And I'm Brian Chaffin, and I have been to France, so let's just dance.
I'm putting my crew shoes on right now.
The full story. Wait, to get yes, that's it. To get the full story on anything we cover in this podcast, you can visit macobserver.com/ACM. If you'd like to comment on or question anything about the show, shoot us a note at acm@macobserver.com. And I have a confession for you.
Okay.
I have not actually been to France.
Have you been near France?
No.
Have you ever...
I've never even seen London.
Well, you know what I'm about to ask?
Don't do it.
All right, I'll ask a different question. Do you know anyone from France?
Yes, I do.
Okay, well, there you go.
So do you.
Yes. Yeah, I know a few people from France.
We know the same person.
Wait, which is the same person? Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Or we.
I see what you did there. I'm still dancing.
Right. So the devil's advocate is shoveling
his strong opinion.
He's shoveling an article into my face and wants me to read it right now. So I'm not going to, though, but that is why I was silent for a moment, because I was multitasking poorly. In the meanwhile, we do have a show to do.
We do. And we're here and you're here. And yesterday you weren't, which is why we're here today instead of being here yesterday.
Yes. Yesterday I was in San Francisco for Apple's media event. To see the introduction of Apple Watch Series 2, iPhone 7 and 7 Plus, and AirPods. So I thought maybe we could talk about it.
Okay. Yeah, I think that sounds like a good plan, especially since you were able to actually touch these devices.
I was able to spend some good quality hands-on time with them. Ask a few questions, didn't get all those questions answered, but did find out a few things. For instance, out of the box, you cannot do pass-through charging and listen through the Lightning port at the same time, out of the box.
Now, the device you're speaking about right now would be the iPhone 7.
iPhone 7, right. So it doesn't have a headphone jack, as rumors said.
Right, and then ultimately, as Phil Schiller said.
What, the courage line?
Well,
are we getting to that first?
Well, only if you want to, but
the rumors... I'm not sure where you're going.
Okay, I need to work on my jokes then. So the rumors claimed there was no headphone jack, and then Phil Schiller said there is no headphone jack. Yes. That was it. I'll work on the jokes. They'll get better people.
Is there a joke in there somewhere?
No, it's just kind of funny to me.
I'm still waiting for you to tell me about the joke. Because you said you were going to tell me about the joke. And then you said some things. You said some words and you put them on.
Why am I nice to you? Remind me.
What? Why do I have friends? This is a mystery. This is absolutely a mystery. So, all right. Well, let's talk. Which one of these things do we really want to get into first?
Why don't we start with the Apple Watch? Because that way it looks like we're just kind of bouncing around.
Okay, great. Apple Watch Series 2 looks. I like it. Here's what I put in my. I did a hands-on piece. I ran a hands-on piece today, and I said that Apple Watch Series 2 what am I trying to say? I've been on record for a very long time as liking but not loving my Apple Watch. I wear my Apple Watch all the time, but I like my mechanical watch better. I wish I was wearing my mechanical watch, but I want the data in the Apple Watch. Right, so I've been very clear about this from the get-go. I haven't you know, it's standing in a crowded room that's noisy, and even, you know, even putting the new Apple Watch on your wrist and looking at it and, you know, hearing about it. But that's not even close to testing it out.
No, it's not.
You know, and this is the same thing. This is the same thing is true. You know, anytime we go to a trade show, or any kind of product announcement, that's seeing it is not the same as using it and testing it. So there is a lot more experimentation and wearing of all of these new products before we can be sure about what we think. But my impression after spending some time with the Apple Watch Series 2 is that it may have at least, or it may in the future, narrow that gap between me liking it and loving it.
All right. Well, that's pretty impressive, because you've been very firmly in the like camp.
I've been very firmly in the like. The main line that I've stuck to when it comes to Apple Watch has been that it's missing killer functionality. This is different than a killer app, because I don't know that an app is the functionality that I'm talking about, but it's missing killer functionality. And I don't know if Apple Watch Series 2 is going to have some killer functionality. Maybe GPS will be it. That's the biggest new functionality. Mm-hmm. But you know, it's faster. Mm-hmm. It's got the graphics chip on there, so it can actually do a lot more. It knows where it's at without talking to your iPhone necessarily. So that, you know, that would be new functionality. But the things that I particularly liked about it are, it's brighter. It's 1,000 nits, which I don't even know what a nit is. Whatever. I know what some nits are, but not when it comes to lights. Phil, was it Phil?
Phil.
Who introduced Apple Watch? Jeff Williams.
Oh, right. It was Jeff Williams. Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, Jeff Williams. He said that it's 1,000 nits and that puts out twice as much light as the first generation Apple Watch, which is now called Series 1. And I can confirm the thing is way brighter. I held my Apple Watch up next to the Apple Watch Nike Plus, which is just sort of a specially branded version of the Series 2. Mm-hmm. And the Series 2 is brighter. It's brighter, much, much brighter, making it so much easier to read outdoors, I assume. That's how this was designed for.
Okay, that would be a plus for me, because...
Yeah, I assume because I didn't take it outdoors.
Yeah, and I mean, I can see my Apple Watch display outdoors, but there are times when I have to, like, change positions and cup my hand around the display a little bit to get just a little bit more shade so that I can read it. But most of the time, I can read it just fine. So by essentially doubling the brightness, that's what it sounds like, I imagine I'll be able to read my Apple Watch display outdoors under any conditions.
Yeah, I would imagine. Yeah, I would imagine almost in like maybe like in just the brightest direct sunlight with no possibility of shade because it's precisely at noon.
Right, and there's no cloud cover and there's snow everywhere.
Yeah, that's right. You're standing on a mountaintop. There's snow everywhere, and you're essentially snowblind anyway. Maybe you wouldn't be able to read it then. We haven't been able to test it outdoors. We are only able to see it indoors, and it was a well-lit area, and it's clearly much brighter. But, you know, we have to get these things on our wrists and test them outside before we know for sure. But there's another thing, I don't even know. I only really touched upon this in my hands-on article, but to be honest, this definitely plays in my head. Apple Watch Series 2 is the same size as Series 1. It's actually a tiny bit thicker, believe it or not.
But not thick enough that it's imperceptible.
It's imperceptible. But because I was talking to an engineer, the engineer says, yeah, it's thicker. It's imperceptible. It essentially is the same size, but it looks sexier.
And I find that interesting.
The lines on this thing are better. And part of it is where the crystal connects to the case.
Mm-hmm.
It's sexier. It looks better.
So does it look more like the material just morphs from metal to glass, as opposed to there's a piece of glass sandwiched on top of the metal?
There's still a line. It doesn't look like it magically becomes a new material. There is a line, but that line is much sexier, less clunky looking.
Okay.
When the Apple Watch came out, the original Apple Watch, it was always a little clunkier than I expected it to be. It was just a little clunkier than I expected it to be. It's just all there's just no other way to put it. And it, you know, I mean, all of the smartwatches, the full featured smartwatches from every brand out there, they're all big.
Yes, and they all have that clunky feel.
And I don't have a problem with big watches. I wear a mechanical watch when I'm not wearing my Apple Watch, and it's big. It's bigger. It's certainly bigger. It's a lot bigger than Apple Watch. And of course, there are massive watches, both cheap massive watches and heinously expensive mechanical massive watches that are out there. It didn't really quite have that. It wasn't as elegant as I thought it would be, and Apple Watch Series 2, my first blush impression is that it's the kind of elegance that I was expecting.
Okay, interesting. I'm really looking forward to seeing one, because I really want to compare the two now. It's just, Brian, I've got a problem. And my problem is that I have an Apple Watch already, and it works fine. But the things that you've said about Apple Watch Series 2, and the fact that it has a GPS, and the fact that that it has that brighter display and is waterproof, although Apple says swim proof, I'm torn. Do I just stick with my Apple Watch, or do I get an Apple Watch Series 2?
Well, there's two answers to that, right? Our job requires us to write and talk about these devices. So there are times when we get new devices because we can, not because we need to.
Mm-hmm.
And this could well be one of those times. But I guess we should probably talk about what you do with them. Right? Yeah. What do you do with your Apple Watch?
Okay, so my Apple Watch, when I am just out and about doing normal whatever things, is a triage system for me. So the alerts that I really need to know about go to my watch, and my watch is always in silent mode. So if it vibrates, then I know that something has happened that I need to pay attention to soon.
And okay, so there wouldn't be any difference.
Right. Then it's also my primary point to look for weather information. And I use Dark Sky for that. And they have a really good Apple Watch app. So that wouldn't change anything. Then there's all the outdoor and fitness things that I do. So I spend a lot of time outside hiking, biking, and the water thing sounded really interesting to me, because one thing that I've been concerned about as I've been crossing streams is, what if I slip and my watch arm, which would be my right arm, goes underwater for a while. Is my watch going to be okay?
Well,
probably.
Yeah, probably.
So I use it for tracking workouts when I'm at the gym.
Yeah.
I use it for tracking my runs, my hikes, and my bike rides.
Okay, well, that's a huge reason to upgrade. Go ahead.
And, that's probably just a good overview of the way I'm using my watch.
All right, well, so from the one of the biggest changes, so we've got Apple Watch Nike Plus. That's an Apple Watch Series 2 that has a custom band that's designed for runners. So it's got these holes in them that are not only decrease the weight and the, you know, like the increases the feeling of lightness on your wrist, I suppose, which is separate from decreasing weight.
Well,
right, it's just got less of a footprint, right? You know, it's
lighter, and I'm assuming because of the holes, they go all the way through, so it's perforated, that it's more breathable.
It's designed specifically to be more breathable, to be to have less weight, but then also, I mean, it's got less friction on your skin, so it's going to adhere to your skin that much less because it has less surface area. Touching the skin, and it has a custom face that is a custom watch faces that isn't available on the other phones. That is designed very much to be read by runners, and very much to be read by runners while they're running. And then, of course, it comes with the Nike app that, you know, does all the tracking stuff. But that you can actually put on a regular series too.
Sure. And I'm assuming you can put it on an original Apple Watch as well.
Yeah, but it's not going to do some of the same things because
there's no GPS.
Because there's no GPS, and not only that, it's not the original Apple Watch is nowhere near as fast as Apple Watch Series 2.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Apple Watch Series 2 is way faster, and the GPS functionality is not slipshod. It's significant. So, like, one of the things, for instance, that the Nike Plus demonstrator showed me was how, as soon as you fire up the app, your watch knows where you are, and that's because it's not relying solely on talking to satellites. Devices that talk to satellites have to wait for a satellite to send information that it can then use.
Right. And one problem that a lot of devices have, small devices, GPS trackers, is that they have one or two antennas, which means that you need three satellites to triangulate. Four satellites is even better because now you can start working on altitude. If you have, say, one or two antennas, you have to use those antennas to jump between satellites and then work out the triangulation. So it takes a lot longer to acquire your position. I'm assuming Apple Watch has one GPS antenna and is improving that speed by doing assisted GPS like an iPhone does.
Right. It's precisely what it's doing. So it's using, for instance, if your phone knows, if your phone is nearby and your phone knows where it is, your Apple Watch still knows where it is.
Mm-hmm.
Right. This is important from a power standpoint.
Yeah, right? That makes sense.
The Apple Watch still wants to get as much information as it can from your iPhone when it can. But what Apple has done with Series 2 is made it so that you don't have to have your phone with you. And when that's the case, your Apple Watch is going to be doing more of the work, which means it's going to be consuming more power. But most of the time, you're probably going to have your Apple Watch with you. I mean, excuse me, your iPhone with you most of the time.
Right.
And so Apple wants you to be able to fire up an app like the Nike app and for the Apple Watch to know immediately where you are.
Yep, that makes sense.
So that's it's very cool. And it's the kind of thing, in this particular case, I won't say it's the kind of thing that only Apple can do. I say that a lot. But in this particular case, it's the kind of thing that Apple specializes in, because it's a mix. It's mixing the hardware and the software to achieve the to solve the problem that they want to solve.
Yeah, that makes sense. All right, so that potentially addresses another issue that that people have, which is if you're using your Apple Watch to track a hike or run, and you don't have your iPhone with you. Many people feel that the accuracy of the tracking is reduced.
Because it is.
Right. So by building the GPS into the watch, that very well could take care of that accuracy issue.
Right. And, you know, again, this was in demo mode inside a hands-on room. Okay, I wasn't actually seeing the dude run. But he was showing me data. What he said was his last run. I have no idea if that was true. And it seemed like, you know, there was a map of some sort on his Apple Watch that showed a route that someone ran.
Okay.
And that information was detailed and, here's the way I put it when we were talking about it. If the functionality that I was shown in the hands-on room bears out in the real world, runners are going to love this thing. Athletes are going to love this thing.
All right. That's kind of compelling.
Yeah, it is. It's super compelling. Now, in addition to that, there's the fact that it's brighter. And then there's the fact that it's much faster, and because it has the new processor and the built-in GPU, we're going to see a lot of really interesting things coming from third-party developers. You know, a lot of Apple Watch apps were superfluous at best.
Yes, yeah. The notion that they were merely satellite interfaces for bigger iPhone apps really hasn't changed that much for me.
Yeah, exactly. I suspect we're going to start seeing some of that change. Like one of the things that I was shown was Starwalk.
Yes, astronomy app.
Yeah, so like on your iPhone, you know, your iPhone or your iPad, you hold it up and you look at the sky and you move around, and then the star, even if you can't see the stars because of cloud cover or you know light pollution, the stars that are above you. You know, move with the device as the device points to different parts of the sky. It's really cool, especially for, you know, noob wannabe astronomers like me.
Sure. Or casual sky viewers. Like you hear there's a cool meteor storm that's going to happen. Okay. Now you can use your watch and help find it.
Yeah. So now Apple Watch will do that same thing. So you stick your wrist above you and move your Apple Watch around, and the star chart changes according to where you are, and
it's so very, so it's responsive. Doing the augmented reality thing.
Yes, well, except for there's not really because there's no camera.
Well,
it's not.
Well, okay,
can't really quite call that AR.
I still do, because I'm generous like that. Yeah, with my iPhone and Starry Night. Or
Starwalk,
thank you.
Either way, they both do similar things.
Yeah. I mean, I hold it up and I move it around and I have this window to see better, even though it's not actually using the camera. And that's a form of augmented reality. And people are going to tell me it's not, but hey, you're not the boss.
Yeah, well, it's because it's not. But, hey, you know, that's just nitpicking.
Yeah. What's up with that?
And technically, I am your boss.
Well, there is that. But the other people, they're not my boss.
That's true.
So you can tell me, and I won't listen. Everyone else can tell me, and I'll say, well, you're not the boss of me.
Right. Okay, got it. Fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough. It's all clear, crystal clear now. Yeah, I don't know. When you look at how much faster it is, and you look at its new tracking capabilities, especially I know how active you are and how much you do outdoors. Yeah, I would think that Apple Watch Series 2 is probably a must upgrade for you, irrespective of our jobs.
All right. Now, because it is imperceptibly changed, does that mean the watch bands that we've already invested in will still work?
I did not ask. I don't think there's any change. And it would be bizarre to me if Apple changed the strap mechanism.
It would be really strange to me, too. And I'm assuming that they would have mentioned something about.
Yeah,
and you get these great new bands that you can't use with your old watch.
Yeah, I don't think Apple would do that. I mean, there are new bands and there are new finishes and whatnot. But pretty sure your old straps will work, too.
Yeah. All right. So that shoots down the complaint that, well, I have these other bands and I don't want to lose that investment.
Yeah, that's true. And Apple wouldn't want to do that either. I would imagine that the straps are probably going to work for without change for the next several generations of Apple Watch.
I would assume so, too, because that just doesn't seem like the place Apple would. I don't want to say screw us over. Because that's not really what it would be, but where they would leave us disappointed.
Yeah. So there's another thing too. It's interesting. Apple very quietly got rid of the gold Apple Watch edition.
Yes, but we still have a high-end watch, right?
We have a high-end watch, but it doesn't start at 10 grand. Starts at 1249. It is 1249. It's still called Apple Watch edition. But it has a ceramic case, and there's no gold one anymore. There's no gold or rose gold one.
So that's a substantial price drop at the high end.
Well, yeah, because it's ceramic and not gold.
Right. So that's interesting. Now, have you ever had a ceramic watch or watch with ceramic elements?
No.
And neither have I. But I have heard that's a very good thing.
That you haven't had it?
No, that ceramic as a watch body element is a really good thing.
Well, it's super tough. It's super hard. I tell you, the thing looks gorgeous. Here's an interesting thing. The strap is made of one material. I think it's just the rubber strap, right? The same plasticky rubbery strap as the other straps.
Okay. Yeah, it's probably.
It's a shade of white. The Apple Watch Edition ceramic case is made of ceramic, a completely different material, and it's the same shade of white. Do you know how hard that is? You know how hard that is. You probably know how hard that is better than I do.
Yeah, I'm kind of at a loss for words. Holy crap. That's some serious color engineering right there.
Yeah, I can't even imagine. You know, it's the kind of detail. This is one of the things that only Apple would do, because other people probably wouldn't even try to match it.
No, they wouldn't. Most people have the wrong impression that white is white is white.
Right.
And that is absolutely not the case.
Yeah, any color. Black is not black is not black, and purple is not purple is not purple.
That's absolutely true.
But white, isn't white particularly hard to do?
White and red. But yes, white is really hard to do. And getting the band, which is a completely different material, to be the same color white as the watch body, that's really impressive.
Gotta share with you. I reached out to Dave Chartier. Dave Chartier started writing for us again.
Mm-hmm.
And but this week was a little out of control for him, as it has been for all of us. And I was harassing him for not having an article for me. He said, "I'm going to be straight with you. My dog ate it." He's a funny man.
You know, I've met his dog.
Uh huh.
And
have you actually?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Dave and I used to live near each other, believe it or not.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
Yeah. We actually met through mutual friend, but that's another story. So anyhow, his dog actually really could have eaten it.
Is it HTML?
Yeah, it's a crazy dog.
Right. So anyway, I can't wait for his next article.
Watch out for the digital dog slobber.
Yeah, well, I will have to do that. Where were we talking about ceramic? Right. I love that thing. I don't know. I don't know. He just asked me if I was serious. I told him that I told our ACM audience what he said. He said, are you serious? Anyway, what am I saying? Ceramic. White. It's so white. It's so white because the strap is white and because the watch body is white. It's a white watch. I don't know if I could handle that much white on my wrist.
I'm assuming for people like you, people like me, where we don't, we're like the common people. We live in, it would get dirty. Yeah, we'd make it dirty, Brian.
Do you remember how Brad Pitt dressed in Fight Club?
No.
Did you not see Fight Club?
I haven't seen Fight Club.
So who are you? God, I forgot. I blocked it out of my memory because I want to still love you. I can't. I can't anymore, but I want to. Anyway, yeah, flashy. Like this watch is flashy even without being blingy. And I don't know that I could pull it off, but I want to be able to pull it off because the watch felt so good on my wrist. It's heavier than it's heavier than the aluminum one. It is, to me, it's that sweet spot between substantial and insubstantial.
Okay, I get that. Huh. So, looks good, is amazingly durable, and costs a lot less than the gold edition.
But it's still expensive. It starts at $1,249.
Yeah.
So it's twice as much as the stainless steel model. Is the stainless steel model even still available?
Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep. And when I was looking at Apple's website earlier today, I noticed that instead of saying, here's your black watch with your black band and your rose watch with this band, they're actually doing different combinations. So you might have a choice of, well, they're putting different color bands throughout the line. And yeah, they do still have the stainless steel model. They have the sport model and now the ceramic edition model.
Yeah, I see that. And there's $649 is where the stainless steel starts, depending on the strap. The price difference actually comes from the strap that goes with it. So $1,249, it's definitely still expensive for a digital watch. It is a lot less expensive than the gold, and it's really interesting to me that Apple took away the gold. They didn't say anything about it, so I would guess the gold one just didn't sell.
That's my guess too, and I'm wondering if the gold was an experiment to go along with the models that they knew would sell.
It could be. I think that the gold Apple Watch was its intent was to definitively bridge that gap between wearable computing and jewelry. Mm-hmm. And to that extent, it may just be that its job is done, right? Apple established that. Apple has broken the wearable computing logjam.
Okay.
And whether or not the gold Apple Watch edition sold, it did its job of making this much less about technology and much more about fashion. And so from that standpoint, I think the gold model was probably a success. Okay. Whether or not it sold in any quantities, whether or not it even made money, Apple may have lost a ton of money making that thing.
Yeah, who knows? Yeah, that's possible. It didn't help that it was available in limited locations. Like, it wasn't even in all of Apple's own stores.
Well, no, and it shouldn't be. I mean, people can't spend $10,000 on a watch. This is a one percenter thing.
So at $1,200, they'll probably sell more watches.
That's a 5%er thing. You know, Tag moves a lot of watches in the hundreds of dollars range.
Mm-hmm.
Omega, same thing. You know, they move a lot of watches in that, you know, that $800 to $2,000 range. So $1,200, it'll probably sell. Yeah, it will probably sell in better volumes. It's certainly, I loved it. I would love to be able to pull it off. I don't know that I can pull it off, but I would love to be able to pull it off. I kind of want to see it with, it was only on display with the white band that it comes with.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of want to see it with some other bands to see how that white plays off other colors.
Yeah, that'd be kind of fun to see.
And, but you know, one way or another, it's probably out of my price range. So, you know, whatevs. But it's, I like it. It was sexy.
All right. So where we are right now, because this part of the show clearly is all about me.
Yes.
Is that, it's looking more and more like I'll be pre-ordering an Apple Watch Series 2.
Well, of course you will, because you will always express hesitation and then do it anyway.
Yeah. Well, I'm not expressing any hesitation about iPhone 7. Just a no-brainer for me. Of course, part of that's because I'm on the AT&T Next plan. So every year the new phone comes out and I can just trade in my current model and they give me the new one.
Right.
So,
yeah. So, yeah. And the same here. Yeah. I wouldn't, if I was on a 2-year cycle, I wouldn't be stressing about getting this. I have a Success. It's lovely. It's an amazing device. I was able to take some with iOS 10. I'm running the iOS 10 developer preview.
Mm-hmm.
And I was getting pictures in the Bill Graham Theater there that I've never been able to get with an iPhone. I'm assuming part of that is the iOS 10 Photos app.
I'm assuming so, too. I think that they were able to do some pretty cool stuff with the camera app software to improve the quality of photographs on an iPhone 6S. And that, which is pretty cool.
Yes. Yes, I agree.
Yeah, and based on some of the photos that we saw in the in the launch event, I'm thinking that I'm going to be pretty impressed when I start playing with the camera on the iPhone 7.
Well, you know, I've never been tempted by the Plus models. Since iPhone 6 Plus came out, I wasn't tempted by it. I wasn't tempted by the 6S Plus. I'm still not tempted. I'm still not tempted by the 7 Plus, but I want that 7 Plus camera.
Oh, so do I. That dual camera setup, wide angle and telephoto. And
And the depth of field feature. I love a photograph with a blurry background.
Yeah, the bokeh shots.
And I normally get those through a digital SLR with an 85mm Nikkor lens, which is one of the best portrait lenses on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
And it's outside of, you know, like the Leica Hasselblad.
Right.
I mean, you know, so
the lens is mirror mortals.
I don't want the real camera snob. Yeah, I'm a camera snob. I don't want the real camera snobs feeling like they need to school me. I realize that there are classes above that. Anyway, the point is, Apple doing this in the way that Apple has done it optically and not just digitally, because there are Android phones that would blur your background, but it's all being done digitally. It's all being done through software. Mm-hmm. Apple is using two optical lens images from two optical lenses to achieve that effect. And that is something special, I think.
It is. And all those images look amazing. Now, people need to know you can't do that on the 16th because the software that lets that part happen won't be available until later this year.
Right. And they didn't specify when this year. So, you know, wouldn't even necessarily surprise me if it slipped into 2017. But Apple didn't say that. I mean, I didn't get any kind of hints that that was the case. But the fact that it was just later this year and not October or before Christmas or,
right,
you know, November or whatever. I've never been tempted by the Plus models, but I am tempted because of that dual lens, dual camera setup that Apple's doing.
You know, if I was certain that I wouldn't come to loathe the phone because of its size, I'd go ahead and do an iPhone 7 Plus this time around. But I would be so disappointed over time because it would just be too big for me.
It's too big for me, too. I keep my iPhone in my pocket, and the iPhone 6S and 6 form factors fit in my pocket brilliantly. It's the perfect size to me from that standpoint. Mm-hmm. And I always have my iPad. We've discussed this. I always have my iPad, now my iPad Pro, with me. So, you know, if I want a bigger form factor, I do things on my iPad. So I probably won't get the 7 Plus either. But I want that camera is what I want.
I do want that camera. And so what I'm doing is consoling myself with the idea that the next iPhone generation, they'll put the dual camera setup on the smaller model too.
I doubt it.
Well, I know it's a problem because where are you going to find the space for that?
Yeah, that's all about the space. That's what all of that is about. But now that said, we have image stabilization now.
Yes, optical image stabilization as opposed to the digital stabilization that we have in the iPhone 6S.
And in the 6S, that was only available on the 6S Plus.
Yeah, yes.
So to your point,
it came down screen.
Yeah, maybe they could next year or the year after include a dual lens setup on a smaller form factor. Maybe. I just kind of doubt it because there's definitely a lens has got to be a certain size to be a lens.
Right. And you can't just make it smaller and say, okay, now we miniaturized it even more. Yeah. So it may not happen, but oh man, I really like that dual lens system.
Yeah. So do I. Alas, we will not be able to get it now. See, there's a couple of things we could talk about. Let's do the easy one first. Let's talk about the home button.
Yeah. So you got to try that, and it's different now.
Yeah, it's no longer a physical button. It's let me rephrase that. It's not a mechanical button.
Okay.
Right. So you don't when you push on it, it doesn't depress. It is essentially a miniature trackpad, except it's not tracking anything. It's a miniature pressure pad.
Okay.
And it's measuring so what Apple has done is they removed a mechanical button that can break. And they've removed another point of egress for moisture.
Okay.
And both the headphone jack and the mechanical home button going away, no doubt both played a role in Apple designating this thing IP67. Is it waterproof now or water resistant still?
Well, I believe they still call it water resistant because it's what, down to 50 meters?
It's I don't think it's down to 50 meters. 50 meters, that's incredibly deep.
I thought that's what meters, they
said. That's insanely deep. It's something like...
yeah, I know, but I thought that's what they said.
What does IP67 mean?
Good thing we have technology to find these things out.
Protected against the effect of immersion between 15 centimeters and a meter.
Okay.
Protected against long periods of immersion under pressure. I'm sorry. 7 is protected against the effect of the 7 and 67 is protected against the effect of immersion between 15 centimeters and a meter. Yeah, 50 meters, that would be like, that'd be holy smokes.
Amazing. Yeah, that just seemed really weird to me.
Like 50 meters is like multiple atmospheres of pressure. That would be insane. 6 is totally protected. Yeah, so the 6 and 67 means it's totally protected against dust. The 7 means that it's protected against immersion between 15 centimeters and 1 meter.
Maybe the 50 is like 50 minutes.
Yes, 50 minutes is what they said. Yes, 50 minutes is exactly what he...
Okay. Yeah, there were so many things being bounced around yesterday. They're all blending together for me now.
And I'm going to double source that just to be...
Because you can, because we have technology.
Yeah. Protected from immersion, depth of a meter, up to a meter. Yep. For up to 30 minutes. So, but he said, I could have sworn he did say 50 minutes. Anyway, the point is this. The home button going away and the headphone jack going away both play into the thing being designated IP67. And Apple being able to call it water resistant, because no iPhone has been called water resistant.
And to be clear, since you're mostly pedantic, they never said it's water resistant. They said it's swim proof.
Yeah, for sure.
Which I thought was an interesting way to describe it. They said the original Apple Watch is splash proof, and the iPhone 7 is swim proof.
And Apple's always been, like, even if Apple had that feature in there, it never advertised it. Because when you start advertising it, then you actually have to protect it. Then you actually have to pay for it.
Yes. And the iPhone 6S, you can drop it in water and pull it back up out, and it's fine.
Don't test that.
No, don't test it. Just trust us that you can do that.
Yeah, and don't blame us if you can't.
Right. Yeah, if anything goes wrong with that, my name is Brian Chaffin.
And
so is yours.
Yeah, so is mine. Darn it. Oh, man.
I know.
I'm in so much trouble. Anyway, so the home button.
Mm-hmm.
It is not a button. It has the taptic engine behind it, and it gives you haptic feedback when you press it.
So it creates the sensation that you've pressed and clicked a button.
Sort of. It's not the same as the Apple Watch, and it's not even the same as the iPhone screen.
Well, does it feel like a MacBook Pro trackpad?
No, that feels like you're pressing it.
Yeah.
Doesn't it to you?
Yes.
It feels like you're pressing it. It feels like the darn thing moved.
Yeah. I had to get down and look really close to see that I'm actually not making anything to press. And then I shut off the computer and it didn't work. And I was like, this is really crazy. So it doesn't feel like that.
It does not. No. Now, my testing was minimal. It's in this room, right? I want to keep stressing that. You know, we got to get these things in our hands before we can really know this stuff for sure. But I played with it a lot because I wanted to get a handle on what it was going to be like. So it didn't feel like the button moved, but it was very clear when I had pressed. And I don't know, my guess is we'll get used to it. Just like we got used to it. Do you remember how awesome the original iPad was? It had the wheel that physically moved.
Oh, Oh, yeah, yeah.
The scroll wheel, right? The scroll wheel was genius, and it moved, and it had that tactile feeling. Like, you know, you're moving the darn thing, and you can feel it moving, and you can see your song list scrolling by.
Yep.
And then Apple changed that, and they made it into a touch-sensitive stationary pad.
Right, and that took a little bit of adapting.
It did. It was, quite frankly, it was not as cool as the movable scroll wheel, but I would imagine the failure rates were probably, you know, like 0.001%.
Probably. Yeah. And so, yeah, so we'll anyway, adapt
but,
to the
but,
change.
But we got used to it. Well, we got used to it.
Yeah.
We'll get used to this one, too. It brings a... So part of this actually kind of comes down to... I don't like iOS 10's switch from swipe to unlock to press to unlock.
Okay.
I've been using it for a month now, and it doesn't always work. It doesn't always work the way I want it to work at that particular moment.
Okay.
It does obviously. I mean, like, you know, if you press to unlock, it's going to unlock. Problem is that sometimes I want to just look at my lock screen without actually making the lock screen go away, because I want to see whatever notifications are on there. And I don't want it to open. I don't need it to open. And sometimes that doesn't happen. I don't know how the new buttonless home button is going to work with that yet, but it does bring some enhanced functionality. It is pressure sensitive. That means that iPhone 7 is going to be able to know the difference between a light double push or light push and a heavy double push or a heavy push.
That's fascinating.
It is, because it means that software developers and Apple can do things with that. And I think that Apple said, I think that Apple said that they have done some things like, a light double tap brings up reachability on iPhone 7.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. That wasn't possible before.
Right, because it was a physical switch on or off, all or nothing.
On or off, all or nothing. Those kinds of features... That's bringing something new to the table, and I'm looking forward to seeing what happens with that. But it didn't feel like a button push in the same way that all of Apple's other Taptic Engine presses feel like, at least not my limited testing in the room.
Now, I'm assuming that Apple can refine that through software. So they could, yes, over time, make it feel more like a physical button.
Yes, and it's also possible that was just merely the conditions under which I was testing.
Sure. Yeah, that's possible too.
The screen is brighter. It's gorgeous. The screen on the 7 Plus is just gorgeous.
Yeah, the screen on the 7 Plus, from what I understand, is a smaller version of the screen that's on your iPad. Because you have the smaller size iPad Pro.
Yes, I do. The iPad Pro parentheses 9.7 inch close parentheses.
Yeah, that's the one. Anyhow, so it has the color management. It has the wider color gamut. And it sounds to me like when I get that screen in my hand, I'm going to be very happy.
Yes, I think everyone will be happy. It is a gorgeous screen. Now the display on the iPhone 6S was an improvement over the 6. Just gorgeous. Best, mm-hmm, best display I'd ever seen in a smartphone, hands down. The 7 looks even better. It's going to be even faster. Didn't really do a whole lot to test that. Now, we saw one of the game demos we saw.
Mm-hmm.
Was I mean, like, they were rendering 400 monkeys. In a Wizard of Oz game.
400 flying monkeys.
Flying monkeys in a Wizard of Oz game. That's going to be, I mean, there's some serious power. As a matter of fact, that article, I'll give you a tease, the article that John Key, the Devil's Advocate, wrote, that he wanted up while we're recording, mm-hmm. is about how the iPhone 7 is in some ways faster than some Macs now.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's, you know, faster, better GPU, better battery life, 2 hours on the 7, 1 hour more on the 7 Plus. I'm certainly going to appreciate that.
So will I.
It and the headphone jack, we didn't even get, I mean, we don't really have much time. We should probably just talk about the headphone jack now, right?
Yeah. Yeah. We have 5 minutes left, so it's probably headphone jack time.
Yeah, good riddance. I'm okay with it going away. I'm okay with it going away. I was before Apple announced it, and I'm still okay.
For me, it's not an issue because I really don't use the headphone jack. However, I do know people that rely on that. And so what I'm hoping is that Apple soon comes out with a lightning adapter that has pass-through power and the headphone jack built into it. And then that will address all the complaints that I can see.
I'm sorry. I was typing a title for this very podcast because I'm hoping we can get it up in minutes.
We probably can. Anyhow, what I said is Apple needs.
You're talking about pass-through charging?
Yep.
That's the one thing, right? So Apple including the adapter in the box to me was the right thing to do. Remember, Apple didn't do that with a 30-pin to lightning transition.
That's true.
Apple like stuck the lightning iPhone out there and said, deal with it. Headphones are, they're personal, and headphones, everyone's got headphones. Not everyone's got a dock or a speaker dock.
Mm-hmm.
And some headphones the real thing is they're personal. And Apple is including in the box the $9 adapter that it is going to use for people to use legacy headphones and plug them into their device. That's right. In the box. That to me was the biggest thing I was concerned about the ahead of time. That's the thing that Apple had to do. Now the biggest remaining question is how you do that pass through charging. And listen, out of the box you cannot do it.
Correct. But making that sort of an adapter, I know is possible because Apple is already doing it for video with audio.
Video with audio. You can do pass-through charging?
Yeah. They have a video adapter to Lightning, and I think it's HDMI. And then it has a charging on it also.
Okay, that makes sense.
So you can do it. They just need to make it. And right. I would like to see
Apple
that come sooner.
Third parties will.
Sure, of course.
And we do need that sooner rather than later because even with us that 2 hours of extra battery life, there are a lot of people who need to be able to charge and listen at the same time.
Right.
And so that is a remaining hole. But even with that, I am still okay with this change. I think that there will be very little disruption for most people. Now, I know we have our longtime listener writer on Twitter, mm-hmm. who was who's very upset. And he was also upset at Apple claiming that it had the courage to do this. And he felt like that at what Apple was saying, that anybody who wasn't for this change was therefore a coward. That's not how I read what Phil Schiller was saying at all. When Phil Schiller said that Apple was doing this in part because it had the courage to do so, to me, that was about the fact that other companies tend to be afraid to upset anyone, and they don't want to let any kind of legacy thing go. I mean, and this is a fact. This is the way it's always been. And we saw this in the PC industry. We saw this with legacy, crappy technology sticking around forever because people would say, but, you know, we've got all these things.
True. Yeah. You can still buy high-end PC computers, laptops that shouldn't have a VGA port, and they are there.
Yeah. Why is VGA still a thing? VGA shouldn't still be a thing. Should not still be a thing at all.
No, it shouldn't. No.
It shouldn't. And yet it is. And that is what Phil Schiller, in my opinion, that's what Phil Schiller was talking about when he said that Apple had the courage to do this. I don't think that was aimed at consumers at all. And I think that the vast majority of customers are not going to feel much stress here on this. That's not really not for me to say. It's a prediction, not a statement.
Yeah. Well, from my perspective, in my specific situation, not having the headphone jack built in isn't going to be a big deal.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, and that's going to be personal to all of us. One of the most compelling things I've seen is for people who use auxiliary connections to their car stereos.
Which I do. So I'll just leave the lightning adapter in my car.
Right. But you won't be able, that's where the pass-through charging comes in.
Right.
And you're probably going to need that, you know, especially if you're on any kind of a long trip.
Well, then if Apple hasn't addressed that, then I'll either bring along a Bluetooth speaker or burn some CDs ahead of time.
That's, I think there were some people who'd be cranky about that.
Yes.
And I don't blame them. Yeah, I don't blame them at all.
Yeah. I'm just saying, for me, it's not going to be a big issue right now.
Right.
If that changes, yeah, I'll get cranky.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, we've talked more than once about the fact that I've got a pair of Lightning headphones, and it works really well. I like it. The wired option is there. The out of the box adapter is there, and Apple is leading the way with the AirPods. We don't really have time to talk about the AirPods, but the AirPods are definitely a huge improvement in wireless audio. I went into that event being very skeptical about any kind of wireless solution that Apple is going to be bringing to market, but once I actually played around with these things and was shown some of the functionality in the AirPods, I was absolutely impressed.
That's saying a lot.
It is saying a very lot to me. What I don't yet know, though, is how they really fit outside of the hands-on room and how they actually sound in real listening environments. And that's what we don't know yet.
Right. But something tells me we'll know soon.
Yeah, we'll know soon.
Yeah.
We'll know soon.
All right. Well, I think we've talked enough for today.
I would say do that thing.
I can do the thing. And that's this week's Apple Context Machine. If you have anything to comment on, add, or question, write us at acm@macobserver.com. And hey, thanks for listening.
It's like I don't even know. Content is written by the good people at the Mac Observer. Our bandwidth is provided by Cashfly. The bass is by Boom, recorded just for TMO, and that's all for this week.
And hey, stay subscribed.
We will see you online at the Mac Observer.
You're writing to John Keat, aren't you?
No, I'm...